Okay, today is the 5th October, 2017. Once again, we are back to Brother Suyan and Mipong's house. So we will start our puja now. Let us get ready. Then choose 2 persons to help light up the candles, the incense and the candle. Maybe we let the your friend's friend is here. Yeah, she's in the washroom. Yeah. Oh, Jess Chai Wai Mian. Yeah, they were looking for you. Okay, so today we get Jess and the friend, new friend, to help light out the candle. Bang mang tian na ge xiang gen. Don't have candle. Candle and incense. Okay. Let us stand. Okay. Come. Jess. Yilin. Have to light one candle and one incense. Light. Ni tian yi yang ha tian yi yang. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, we can start the offering. Pass it on. Rejoice, offer, and pass it on. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. 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 sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Yeah. Then let us get ready for puja. Compose your mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall recite the salutation. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated and turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We shall continue with the vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja. Ganna sarapaditena tipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang. Ganda sambara yutena dopena hang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana motamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe. Puje mi buddhang kasumena nena punena matena cha hotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me กายโยตถายติวินาสภาวังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเทปานิยังปริคาปิทังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาทุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเทปาเลปริกาปิทังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาทุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเทโบจานังปริกาปิทังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาทุมุตตมังOkay, now we turn to page 5. We shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein.Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense.Which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers.May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration.By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then we will share these merits and transfer these merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception.Especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay homage to Triple Gem. Vedang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi.Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. Yeah? Then we can have about 30 minutes of meditation. Yeah? Okay, for the new sister. Yeah, Elena. Jess, your friend. You got any background, the Buddhist teaching? Have you learned the Buddhist teaching before? Oh, good. Oh, okay. The understanding, Oh, okay. So, have you read the basic teaching of the Buddha? Not yet, Yeah. I will give you some books. I think they are there. Then, do you have the ancient path? Ancient path. That one, the basic teachings are there. Don't have.Oh, then I will bring. I still have quite a bit in my house. Never mind. remind me, I will pass you a copy next Thursday. Yeah? The basic teaching is there. But these are the few transcript books which are useful. The seminar book is the best, the thin book, the below the blue. This is the Bangkok seminar that I delivered the talk in the year 2013. It's an international seminar. You read that one, it will summarize to you the deep meaning of the Buddha's teaching and how it can help humanity to develop understanding of life. When you understand life, you know how to live life, then you can be a blessing to all. Otherwise, without this understanding, you will get yourself in trouble, entangle yourself with life. And when you become unhappy, when you are affected, you also affect others, the world. Ah, yeah. Thanks, Mipho. That's the book, yeah. Yeah. So this one, the basic teaching is there. The essence of the Buddha's teaching is the Four Noble Truths. When you understand the Four Noble Truths, you like understand the secret of life. Because he summarized all of life into just Four Noble Truths. And these are truths that can make you noble ones. So during the time of the Buddha, noble ones are called enlightened beings. Because this enlightened being has a lot of noble qualities. That's why they are called noble ones. They are very noble in the way they conduct themselves, in the way they develop the understanding of life. So they got right understanding or right view with regards to all of the nature's law that governs life and existence. Then they also have very noble quality, like they always arise impeccable right thought, right speech, and right action. They are incapable of wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action. So because of that, they are very noble in the way they conduct themselves through action, speech, and thought process. Yeah. Then they also very skillful in developing the cultivation. They maintain right livelihood and right living, and also constantly arise the four right effort to purify their mental states. So the four right effort, they are all described in the book. Then they also have impeccable mindfulness, leading to the stability of mind, which is samadhi. Samadhi is a state of mind which is collected and unwavering. It's a free mind. It's not a conditioned mind with energy field or a conditioned state where the mind is held into one-pointedness or absorption so that it does not think. That one is energy field or thought-based meditation. But the Noble Eightfold Path that the Buddha taught is a free mind that is naturally aware, silent, and unwavering. Because it is collected and unwavering, that's why it has strength, it has samadhi. So at the moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, or tactile, feel something, or the thought arise, your mind is very calm, very peaceful. It will not stir, it will not react, it will not get agitated. And that is what samadhi is all about. So when you have that type of mind state, you can develop the ability to insight into phenomena, where you can see things as they are, without your mind reacting, stirring. So you will not act according to memory, views, opinion, and conditioning. When you do that, you are not acting at all, because you cannot understand the truth, the reality. You cannot see things as they are. So that is the meditative state. Later on, as you develop the understanding, the meditation, you understand all this. Then the other two books are very useful too. The Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, that one you can read later. The Heart Sutta, the last book, that one more important. All of the essential teaching are there. you read through that one, you will understand everything. Then it is enough for you to develop the cultivation, to develop the ability to become enlightened or awakened. Yeah. So this is a very useful book. Eh? So make full use of it, spend some time on it. They are all printed for free distribution by generous Kayanamita. So it's for you. Eh? So I rejoice with your good condition. Eh? We do welcome you and make yourself at home. It's an informal session. You can come anytime, leave anytime, no problem. Yeah. The more important aspect is to benefit from the sharing, the session. Mm. Okay, now we will go into the meditation. The blue book is to teach you how to meditate. That one is a typical transcript of one of the meditation Thursday class. Yeah. You read through, you will understand. So now when I give instruction, you don't have to remember anything. Just maintain attention, try to listen, and just do accordingly. Then find out for yourself how you can develop the training of your mind to become peaceful, calm. Then develop the meditation accordingly. I will explain in between. Eh? Then you got any question, you can ask. Okay? Yeah. So I sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu means rejoicing. Rejoicing with whatever goodness or wholesomeness. The mind like has joy. Okay, we are off the light. Then we will set the meditation. I think 30 minutes. Yeah. You can have 30 minutes of silent meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, you can proceed. For those who are new, who need instruction, I will give you some simple instruction. Okay, relax body and mind. Feel yourself completely relaxed. Mentally, physically, completely relaxed. Then make sure you have a stable posture. A posture that can allow you to maintain the silence to meditate. You have leg problem, inability to cross your leg, then you don't have to. You can sit on a chair at the back, or sit on a couch, or just lie down, straighten your leg, then develop the understanding to meditate. After that, you can ensure your backbone is straight. The backbone has to be straight because it will prevent sloth and torpor, sleepiness and all those things. Then when you meditate correctly, your chi can flow. Then there is no obstruction and all those unnecessary hindrance. Okay, close your eye. Then maintain some more attention at your forehead. Just feel your forehead. What I'm trying to teach you is the mind sweeping method. This is a very good initial mental training. It will help you decondition your heedless thinking to make you peaceful and calm. And this mind sweeping method, I will combine with loving kindness or metta radiation. Metta is to bring about inner well-being. Then the mind sweeping method is to bring about inner peace, inner calmness. When it has the ability to help you to decondition your heedless thinking, your mind will become calm and peaceful. Then it's just silent and aware within. And that is the meditative state. That's why it's very important to develop that mind state. The reason being, according to the Buddha, human beings are not able to meditate, to have these mind states of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness, is because they have mental hindrance. There are five mental hindrance that the Buddha described under the teaching. there are mental states that will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. They are called sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. Later on, you will see it on the whiteboard. So according to the Buddha, because they are mental hindrance, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. That's why people tend to have problems when they want to meditate. The mental hindrance will make them restless, think a lot, or sleepy, sloth and torpor. Then their attachment while they are living their daily life will bring about the arising of many thought process, thinking. And when this thinking arises, the mind cannot become quiet, cannot become peaceful. So what you need to do is, you need a skillful means to decondition this mental hindrance. The mind sweeping method is very conducive because it will help you decondition this heedless thinking that arises due to the mental hindrance. So this mind sweeping method is a temporary skillful means to initially help you to decondition the heedless thinking or just keep the hindrance at bay. It does not root it out because you don't have the wisdom yet. Then to root it out, the Buddha said, technically you don't have to do anything except cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties, which are Sadda, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. These are Pali terms. Sadda is faith, faith in the Buddha and his teaching. This is to develop confidence, faith leading to confidence. Then when you have faith, your mind is very calm and very composed. That is a skillful mind state that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching. That's the reason why they are called spiritual faculties or spiritual mind states. Then the second one is, after knowing who the Buddha is, how special a being he is, and how wonderful the teaching is, because it can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now, awakening, freedom from suffering, misery, suffering from all mental states. So when you understand the importance of this teaching, you see the importance of it, you would have this tenacity to go all out to cultivate this teaching. And that is the second spiritual faculty, the Buddha called it Virya, or spiritual tenacity, or spiritual zeal to go this way. So when Sadda and Virya is there, the third spiritual faculty, which is Sati, will arise when you meditate diligently. You silence your mind. The moment your mind is without thought, it is already aware. You don't have to try to be aware. Just relax and let things be. Then this mind will fall in place and become quiet on its own. The original state of mind before it's stirring is already peaceful. So you only need to relax body and mind so that this mind settle down and develop the ability to be quiet and peaceful. Then when sati develop, it can stabilize until the mind becomes so quiet and so still that it will realize pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind or stillness of mind. Then when pasati stabilizes, it becomes samadhi, the fourth spiritual faculty. Then with sati and samadhi, you can meditate. Sati is mindfulness. And mindfulness is just an awareness before the knowing, before the arising of mental states or aggregate of mind. So this fundamental understanding is very important. The mind that is mindful is without thought, just aware. That's why you can develop the understanding and the wisdom. So the last spiritual faculty is wisdom, born of sati and samadhi. When your mind state is already trained, it will have sati. Then when you stabilize it, it will have samadhi. Then you can see things as they are, to understand many, many things. And that is what wisdom is all about. Okay, now I will give you instruction to do the mind sweeping method. You feel your forehead, just feel, don't think, just feel. Then you can detect any tightness, any stress within, or any tension. You just relax, relax, and relax into it. Feel the whole forehead soothingly relax. Then you move your attention down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Just feel. Do not think. If there's any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just relax them all. Feel the ciliary muscle or the eye muscle. Soothingly relax. Relax. Then you move your attention down to your facial muscle. Feel. Don't think. Just feel. Then do the same. Relax into every strand of your facial muscle. Feel it soothingly. Relax. Then to help you relax further, you can radiate loving kindness or metta to yourself. You recite, we are following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. When you recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, you must feel your entire body and mind. Be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being inside your entire body, each and every cells within your body and your mind state, having this well-being and happiness. Then you continue to read it. May I, this body and mind of mine, be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel it. Physically, mentally, you don't have problem. You don't have suffering. Then may it too be free from all harm and danger. And may its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you continue to radiate this love and metta to your loved ones. May all my loved ones, including my parents, my brothers, my sister, all my loved ones, my good friend, neighbors, kyanamita, colleagues, friends, may they all too be well, happy and peaceful. Well, happy and peaceful. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can extend this metta or loving kindness to all beings. May all beings within the vicinity of this Subhangjaya Suyanam Sister Mifong's house, all Kayanamita, all beings, known and unknown, seen and unseen, may they all too be well and happy, may their mind states too be free from all harm and danger, may their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts too. Then may all beings throughout the whole of Selangor, Subhangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, our planet, Mother Earth, our solar system, our galaxy, extending to all beings within the entire universe, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. minimize this to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they too keep themselves happy and peaceful always. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle. Just feel, relax everything and move it down to your neck. Feel, relax. Don't think, just feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax. The hand also, feel it, relax into it. Then back to shoulder. Then move your attention down to your heart area or your chest area. This is a very important location within your body. This is where your heartbeat arises and pass away. The life force alive arises and pass away. The seat of consciousness where your mind resides. You just silence everything and just feel. Just like you feel your body, just feel. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. You just stay there, silent everything and be with it. If you are new, you are not sensitive, it's okay. Then, like you feel your forehead, you just feel your chest area and relax into every part. Feel it soothingly. Relax, relax and relax. Then you sweep it down to your stomach. Feel, relax. Abdomen, silent everything. Feel, relax. Then you move it down to your leg. Feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. Then you can reverse the whole process. Starting with your buttock, feel, relax. Leg, feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Then the heart area. Silence everything and just feel, relax. Then move your attention to your shoulder, hand. Back to shoulder, neck, feel, relax. Then facial muscle, feel, relax. Eye muscle, feel, relax. Then your forehead. By now, your mind should be calm, peaceful, and much more quiet. This is the meditative state, the silent mind. You have to develop the ability to stabilize the silent mind so that you can use it to meditate. To do that, the Buddha recommends Anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. So now instead of feeling your forehead, you feel your breathing. Maintain your attention in front of your nostril, just feel. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, away. The mind is just aware of this breathing in. Then breathing out, aware. Means your awareness and the breath move as one without thought. Initially, if you are not familiar, your mind will wander off very fast. You cannot maintain the awareness or mindfulness of the in and out breath. Split second, the mind wanders off. It's okay, because the untrained mind think a lot, behave that way. So you need to be patient. Patiently bring the mind back to the breathing. Every time it wanders off, bring it back. Initially, before you are skillful, the mind tend to wander off very often. It can even wander off for a few thousand to ten of thousand or even a million times, depending on how skillful you are. If you have developed some form of practice in the past, then no need. Very fast, this mind will become quiet and peaceful. Then when your mind has this ability to be aware of the in and out breath without thought, you will experience peace, calmness. The first mind state that you will encounter is called piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual joy, or some people experience it so intensely, they call it spiritual rupture. The mind is like in a state of spiritual calmness, spiritual rupture, spiritual peacefulness, or they call it spiritual joy. There's a type of joy that accompanies the calmness, the peacefulness. So you just continue to train. Then when you experience this piti, you continue to relax into it. The key word is relax into it and silence everything. Then allow this anapanasati to stabilize. As you relax and develop the mindfulness, your breathing will change or transform. From piti, it will change to what they call long breath. The long breath will make you very calm, very peaceful. And as you continue to relax and silent, you will experience a much more refined state of calmness, which the Buddha called it. This they call sukha. Sukha is a very much more refined state of piti. It is a very blissful mind state. You experience a type of bliss. You feel very blissful inside. Sometimes you can even have this like tingling sensation. Like there's a lot of joy, a lot of rupture leading to what they call spiritual calmness that is very, very calm. And it makes you so blissful within. But the spiritual blissfulness, which is sukha, is not an enlightenment factor, so don't attach to it. Just experience it and allow it to be, go through it. Then continue to relax into it until this mind becomes very quiet, very silent and still. Then you will hit what they call the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind called paucity. So our whole of meditation is to train the mind until it becomes quiet, peaceful and still, naturally, in a free mind state. That is the mind that can meditate. That is the silent mind, the meditative mind, tranquility or stillness of mind. Then you stay silent, don't do anything. That mind, which is in sati, will understand many things. It can meditate. Okay, I will let you continue with the meditation. Then I will ring the bell in about 10 minutes time. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states that you determine to train. Then after it has stabilized, use it to develop the daily mindfulness. Meditation in the midst of life is the real meditation. So to develop daily mindfulness, you must have the ability to be mindful in the midst of life when you are going through your career, living life, attending to things, issues or whatever. Then even while at home, with your loved ones, your parents, or when you are in your office, engaging in your career, in your job nature, in meetings, in whatever conference or whatever, you need to maintain mindfulness or heedfulness in everything you do. Mindful of all your action, movement in the present moment. Then with the inner awareness, you can understand many things. The meditative mind that is in the state of awareness can develop the meditation, can insight into phenomena and awaken. Then the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught, you will witness them arising and passing away with each moment of sense or consciousness. In the midst of life and existence, everything that arises, you need the mind to be aware. But the untrained mind is heedless, think a lot, lost in thought. So the untrained mind, without the meditative training, is heedless, has mental hindrance. That mind has problem. So meditation is to develop the ability to be mindful, to be aware in the midst of life, so that you can be heedful. According to the Buddha, if you are not heedful, you are as if dead. Dhammapada verse 21, the Buddha make it very clear. He said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So you don't train your mind to be aware, stabilize it to be ever mindful, then use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is Noble Eightfold Path in the midst of life. Then you cannot develop heedfulness. To be heedful, you must train your mind to be ever mindful, then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path in the midst of life. Noble Eightfold Path include the four foundations of mindfulness. Mindfulness of the four foundations, which is Kaya, Vedana, Citta, and Dhamma. So when you can do that, until your meditation become very stable, you will develop a lot of understanding, wisdom, and you can become enlightened. Okay, with that, we will turn to page 6, where we will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sage, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakawalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadang Dhammasavanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhammasavanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma sabanan kalo ayang badanta namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Ittipiso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho Vijjacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarthi satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati svakato bhagavata dhammo sandittiko akkaliko Ehi paseko opanaiko pacatang veditabo vinohiti supatipano bhagavato savakasango ujupatipano bhagavato Savaka Sango Yaya Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sango Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savaka sango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu 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 Okay, let us pay respect to Tripuja Buddhang Pujayami Dhammang Pujayami Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we can have our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by question and answer. You can ask whatever question related to meditation so that I can guide you along. Then anything about the teaching, the Dhamma also you can ask. Then of course finally is how to apply what you have learned here, yeah, to help solve your life problem or enable you to understand life so that you know how to live life accordingly. Okay, now we open it up. Eh? You just have to raise your hand. Then we will hand you the mic. Anybody? Jesse was looking at Elaine. So how you find today, Elaine? Yeah. Yes. Ah, hindrances, okay. Mental hindrances. Yes. Yeah, you will. Can. Okay, very good. Sadio, good question. I will explain to you. Because you are new. Okay. So these are the five mental hindrances like the word hindrance, it will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful. You understand? So these are called mental hindrance because the Buddha, through his special cultivation and ability, he came to realize these are the five things that make living being heedless or lost in thought, think a lot, then get themselves entangled with these mental states, which he called mental hindrance. And when you are caught with the hindrance, it will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, calm, with inner awareness. Means you become heedless. Heedless means you are lost in thought. You are not heedful. You are not mindful. You are not aware. You are just completely lost. Yeah. So, first two is very easy to understand. Throughout the day, we ask ourselves, what do? We go through life, isn't it? We wake up. Then, we of course do our usual, clean up, get ready for the day. Then after that, you have your breakfast maybe. Some may not take breakfast, they may skip their breakfast. Then you start to do your daily thing, yeah, attend to things. If you are working, if it's a weekday, you may have to go to office. Then at the office, you may have to attend to many things. Then as you go out of your house, you also have to be attentive. Otherwise, you can make mistakes. And most people, when they are at home and go out of the house, they are not mindful of what is going on. They are conscious of life, but they are not aware of life. Do you know the difference between these two? To be conscious, you can understand that, right? Most of us are conscious of life, right? Otherwise, you cannot be awake. When you wake up, means you are conscious. Like, you are conscious of what you see. You are conscious of what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. But you are not aware. Can you see the difference? Yeah? Definitely, you are conscious that you are here, right? Yeah, sitting here, listen to me. Yeah, but you are not aware inside. From here, inside, the inner awareness that is aware, attentively hearing, attentively listening. Human beings' problem is, when they listen, when they hear, or when they see, their mind stir. It's like, let's say you see something very nice, very attractive. Yeah? It could be a painting or something you like, or hear very nice music. So what happened? When you are listening attentively, you are fully aware of that thing. Then you are aware. But when you are lost in thought, means what? Carried away by what you see. Then you start to develop like and dislike. True or not? So like is sensual desire. Dislike is ill will. Okay? Then you have this pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. Yeah. And you check throughout the day. Most people are not aware, but if you are aware, you check. You realize your mind keep on reacting this way. Either you like or you don't like. Then it is the first two. Sensual desire, you will. Your mind continuously react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. And this like aversion or dislike is very, very frequent. Most people are not happy. Means they have this ill will, dislike inside them. Yeah. They cannot tolerate a lot of things. They pass by a smelly drain, they will complain already. It's like, wow. Then the mind will start to chatter. Why these people like that? Never keep the street clean. And you blame MPBJ, you blame everybody. Because this mind is hardly aware. It's just thinking, reacting. Yeah. Then when it smell, it do the same. Then when it see, it also do the same. Then when you are in a busy street with a lot of noise, not music, people horn you, people shout at you, then with all the, what they call, very difficult to endure type of vibration. That's why they say you live in a city, it's very stressful. The traffic sound, the train sound. Then you got also the pollution, noise pollution. A lot of this negative vibration within nature. So all this will create the first two hindrances, sensual desire, you will. When you are preoccupied with what you see or what you hear, then you are lost in thought because you are preoccupied with that thing. So you are not aware anymore. When you are aware, you are not lost in thought. You are fully aware of what is going on. But most of us, if you are not trained in this type of meditation, you are always lost in thought. That's why you are conscious of life. You keep on doing things. And most of the time, if you were to be mindful, you realize your thought precedes your action and speech. You think a lot, and your thought is so fast, way ahead of your action and speech. Sometimes, for example, at home, easier to recall or give you an example. When you're at home, let's say you wake up, okay? Immediately when you wake up, the thought will come, oh, office, I got to do this, I got to do that, okay? Then what you do is, your thought, you are preoccupied with that thought. Then how you go to the toilet, you also don't know. You are not mindful at all. Then how you end up answering nature's call, you're totally not aware. Maybe you're still thinking while you're sitting on it. You do. A lot of the actions you do are like automatic, or they call reflex action, or habitual tendency. Because you have been doing it so often, you take it for granted. Then you cannot recall how you went in and do all those things. So to develop the mind that is aware or mindful is to be aware of all the action, movement, and thought process that is going on within the moment. But most people are heedless with the mental hindrance. And if, let's say, throughout the day, you keep on arising like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience or response, then what happens is this become habit. We call it habitual tendency. Means throughout the day, this habitual tendency of reacting to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you technically feel and think, become habitual tendency. So throughout the day, most of the time, you are arising mental hindrance. So the very easily understood answer is, how can you be peaceful? You understand or not? If you keep on arising mental hindrance, it will hinder your mind from becoming quiet and peaceful. That's why they become stressed out. Then they become very restless. Like a lot of things to do, but cannot finish. Want to attend to many things. Now this thought arrives, oh, I want to do that. Then before you can even attend to that, be mindful of that, another thought arrives. Then another thought arrives. Then when you see something, somebody haunt you, you turn, you get angry again. You're continuously moving around without awareness, without mindfulness. So this habitual thing that you do develops into habit. And this habitual tendency is the one that causes the mental hindrance to arise. Then what happens is, when you think a lot, when you have a lot of problems, a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, a lot of insecurity and phobia, like you are a working lady, career lady, you have office work, office problem, job related. Then sometimes personal problem, it can be health problem, financial problem, relationship problem, or even any type of life related problem. So when you are entangled with problem, you will have fear, you will have worry, anxiety. Then when things don't go your way, you will become unhappy, sad. So sorrow, lamentation, all this will arise. And these are all negative mind states. And when you have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, are you peaceful? You are not peaceful, isn't it? Because you have restlessness of mind. This is the hindrance that most people have. But throughout the day, you got a lot of things to attend to and a lot of things to worry about. They are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so, you hardly live. Do you see that point? Yeah? Most people are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. They never live life. They hardly live life. Yeah. Then sometimes when you are very tired, you feel sleepy. Yeah. Then when you are forced to do meditation which you don't understand and you don't like, you will feel sleepy. It's just like you attend a class or a subject that you don't like in the school, yeah? The lecture. What happened? You sure doze off and you become sleepy. Yeah, you are so tired when you go there and that topic is so boring. And this is a mental hindrance too. When you are sleepy, you cannot be attentive. You cannot be aware. You cannot understand or absorb anything. That's why it's a mental hindrance. It cannot make you aware within. The meditative state cannot arise. So these are all mental hindrances. Then the last one is doubt. When you have doubt, means you don't understand. You don't have confidence. Means you don't know what this thing is all about. Then sometimes you doubt whether this is the truth or not. This is correct or not, what people tell you. It's just like when things don't go your way, eh? They call it bad luck. Then you go and ask around, they say, hey, your feng shui no good. Then if you believe that gullibly, you go and look for a feng shui advice or feng shui teacher or master. They will, actually, we don't want to use that word, they will advise you to spend money, understand not? Or they will mock you. Means tell you, oh, you have to do this, you have to do that. Then you have to pay for all these things. But if you know the Dhamma, you will not do all those things. Because the Buddha mentioned very clearly. He said, in this world, there is one thing that is most fundamental to all living beings. Whether you are a human being or a non-human or animal or what. He said, we are all born of our karma. Heir to our karma, supported and conditioned by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So karma is the main thing, the Buddha said. If you don't take care of karma, your life cannot change. You reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. That's why all your actions, speech and thought process are more important. If you take care of karma, by following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil to good, then your luck will be good. Because the karma will make sure you have good luck or good merits. Where you reap what you sow. If you are kind to people, good to people, generous to people, then people will be kind to you, nice to you, generous to you. And the more you give, the more you receive. Where when you give, it's a type of generosity. An act of generosity. When you give to your nature, your karmic nature. And the fruition of it is, you reap what you sow, you receive back all these things. And sometimes it can be manifold, because you give to virtuous people, you give to a good cause, a good means. Then all this, the multiplier effect is fantastic. It's just like you plant the seed in a fertile plain, or a fertile soil. Then it will grow very fast. But if you plant the seed in the barren ground or non-fertile soil, it is not going to help you. You may like make offering, generosity, but you have wrong view. You donate to the wrong cause. You donate to the wrong group. Then this money don't go to good use. Then in future, the fruition of it is the same. Because it will not have its effect. So, whatever you do, the law of karma is very simple, the Buddha said. You reap what you sow. You plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. You plant the seed of goodness, wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of goodness and wholesomeness. So, law of karma is the basis. 99.999% is dependent on law of karma. So you do all this feng shui thing, or you go and see fortune teller, or even they call it what they call it, to change your life. You do certain charm and all those things. You keep amulet. It's not going to help you. Because the main thing that is responsible for how you experience your life is your karma. If you don't take care of karma, the rest will not help you. Feng Shui has its signs. Yeah? Man and nature must harmonize. And Feng Shui believe in the flow of qi. So he said, you can have good Feng Shui means you are able to tap in the good qi, the good flow of qi. It can be a lively stream or a river, yeah? Or the mountain formation, nature's formation. Then that type of good qi, the environment is fertile, appropriate, conducive. So that good qi calm can help to a certain extent. But it's like your bank account. Huh? Your good karma is like your bank account. So you are in an environment where you got a good qi, everything. So you got good condition to receive good things. So you like make full use of your good karma to allow you to have the good condition. So it's like you use your money in the bank first. But then when the money in the bank is no more, when your good karma is no more, then you cannot receive. No matter where you stay, the qi how good also, you are not going to receive them. They call in Cantonese, sao mei, understand? Because you don't have the karma to receive them. But if you have the good karma, no matter where you are, where you stay, in whatever condition, whether good feng shui or bad feng shui, you don't worry. Your life will be beautiful. Yeah? Because I tested all this during the early day. My mother used to believe all these things. Then I one by one dismantle and tell my mother, no, it's not this. Because I show it to my mother in a very simple way. I say, you are the parent. Yeah? She gave birth to 9 brothers and sisters. Then I say, same parent, same environment, same condition. How come all the 9 of us different? Some very tall, some very short. Some full of hair, some no hair. Some can study very good. Some completely cannot study. Some the 6 or so fail. Then some very spiritual. Then some completely non-spiritual. Then how you explain? Same feng shui. Then I say, your brothers and sister, my parents, brother means my uncle and my auntie, who are left in China, couldn't make it to Malaysia. I say, you look at their life during the early days. Where by the time communist China now become more affluent, they already did. But before that, they suffered so much. Then my mother still recall and told me, yeah, the moment I came out of China, she said, in the year 1953, she already out of the suffering world, she said. Oh. To her, it's out of suffering world already. You all somehow want to strive on with heedfulness to become free from samsara. The moment my mother out of China, he very contented. He said she is out of suffering world. So I said, same feng shui, your grandpa, grandmother, or same feng shui in China. How come they suffer, you come out, you become prosperous? If feng shui is supposed to be same for all, isn't it? But everyone is different. So I say it's not feng shui. More than feng shui, it's what you do in your life. Life after life, you accumulate all this, become karmic nature. So when you understand the Dhamma, you know how to live life. Otherwise, you will be trapped in this mental hindrance. So these mental hindrances are very easy to understand, like I explained. If throughout the day, you have all these 5, you will have no peace. Do you understand? Very easy. The Buddha say, just cultivate the opposite 5. He said, you cultivate this opposite 5, it will do away with all this. He said, you don't have to fight them, you don't have to suppress them and control them. No need. Just cultivate these 5. And so these 5 are called spiritual faculty that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching, his teaching, which is the Buddha's teaching. Then he can allow your mind to free, to liberate. So now we start. Sada, faith. Faith in what? In the Buddha and his teaching. Through understanding clearly who he is. The Buddha is the fully enlightened one. He's not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened. Perfect in wisdom and virtue. You can follow. Because he is fully enlightened, not just enlightened. He has completed all the understanding, the training for eons, and developed that ability to be fully enlightened. So to have such a teacher or a being like the Buddha to be your teacher and your guide, you should have great respect for him and a lot of gratitude towards him. You should thank your good karma, count your good blessing to have come into contact with his teaching. And his teaching can allow you to develop the wisdom to become enlightened, to liberate your mind, to free your mind from all suffering, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. Whatever happened in life, you got no more problem. What are you waiting for when you know that he is such a beautiful being and his teaching is so wonderful? You will develop the virya, the spiritual zeal, or tenacity to go all out to cultivate this teaching, isn't it? Correct or not? When you see the importance, and when you know my entire life depends on this understanding, if I understand this, my mind is free. I got no more problem. I got no more suffering. No matter what happened, you will understand very clearly who you are, what you are. And you will even come to the understanding that no one dies. Technically, no one born. No one get old, no one get sick, and no one die. Well, this one is not you. But this one is related to you intensely through karma, karmically conditioned out for you to come to this world. When you have this understanding, you will know how to live life. You will not worry about life. You will not worry about this body getting old, getting sick and die. Because this is not you. This is element, goes the way of nature. Then the consciousness that is trapped inside is also not you. It has its characteristic. It's dependent, originating from that nature. So all this is very profound. You need to meditate to develop the understanding. But it's possible and it's easy to develop it during this era, because we are living in the era of the sasana, where the teaching is still around, where the consciousness is still very supportive and very beautiful. So the moment you have faith and confidence in the Buddha, your mind becomes very calm, very composed. You got no more doubt, true or not? Because you know what this teaching is. You know who the Buddha is. Cannot go wrong. If I really can cultivate his teaching and develop the understanding, I will become different. I will understand life. I will know how to live life. And I will become beautiful, because I will know how to take care of karma, and karma will take care of my life. And you will have all the good things going your way. So this is the beauty. When there is faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, when you are confident, there is no more doubt. So this one gone, understand? Well, you got a direction already. You are very clear about life. This is the person that has the understanding and the teaching. I am going to cultivate this teaching. That's why I have faith, no more doubt, I go and cultivate. Then when I am determined through this virya, spiritual zeal, tenacity, I will not be sleepy. Because I see the importance of this teaching, I will go all out and cultivate it. Means I have this virya, spiritual zeal, or tenacity. Then I won't be sleepy. Sloth and torpor will not be there. It's like I understand the importance of this topic. I want to understand. I want to put it into cultivation. So this virya will drive you and prevent the hindrance of sloth and torpor. Then when you start to cultivate according to the teaching, you will develop mindfulness. Mindfulness is awareness. Awareness before the knowing. You look at here. Aware. Relax, aware. The four support for meditation. When you are relaxed into every mind state that arises, you will become quiet, peaceful. Then this awareness will arise. So you just silence your mind. Silent mind. The moment your mind is silent, the moment you are without thought, you are already aware. You don't have to try to be aware. For when you try to be aware, your thought is active. So without thought, the moment you are without thought, you are already aware. So you only need to learn how to be silent, without thought, then you are in the meditative state already. You don't have to do anything. But because of the mental hindrance, you cannot achieve that state. You cannot be silent. You will think a lot. You worry a lot. Restlessness and all those things. All this will arise. So meditation is just to understand that this is the cause. So if I develop the five spiritual faculty, all this gone, then my mind is automatically in the meditative state. Technically, I don't have to train. I don't have to learn to meditate. Well, with this spiritual faculty, I will know how to meditate. Because sati is mindfulness. When I'm mindful, I'm just aware without thought. Without thought means what? No fear, no worry, no anxiety. If you don't think, you don't have a problem. Understand or not? Not blank. No thought. No thought. No thought doesn't mean blank. No thought means stillness, tranquility. Understand? When you are without thought, you are very calm. You're just aware. And that peacefulness, the tranquil state, the stillness is so different. That's why in the seminar book I wrote there, peace is very difficult to come by for normal people. To be peaceful is very difficult. To have a quiet mind, a silent mind, for even 1 second is so difficult for them. You try. You cannot. Either you think or you go to sleep. Even when you sleep, you are not peaceful. Because you still got your dreams, your subconscious release, unconscious release. Because the mind need to find order. It need to release all these things. That's why people have dreams. Sometimes, what they call, when you dream of horrible thing, nightmare, things that haunt you, create fear in you when you sleep. So most human beings don't know how to sleep. Because they don't know how to rest their mind. Because when you have this mental hindrance, your mind lacks order. One of the great teachers, he said, if your mind is in the state of disorder, you will have a lot of problem. You know what is disorder, isn't it? Yeah? Like society, when there is no order, what happens? There is riot, isn't it? Yeah? There is chaos, isn't it? So when your brain don't have order, means this five mental hindrance is having a field day inside there, understand? So there is chaotic. Chaotic means what? A lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, restless. Don't know what to do, stressful, very stressful. Like, wow, this is not life, crazy. Oh, here pressure, there pressure, worry about it, worry about it. Need to attend to all these things. Then when you have money also you worry. No money also you worry. Rain also you complain, no rain also you complain. Too hot also complain, too cold also complain. So when the mind lack contentment, understanding, you will stir and react and become attached to things. Because craving is a very powerful defilement. The Buddha said, craving is so powerful, it's deeper than any ocean. Understand? Because craving cannot stop. Like good food, you taste this already. After that, a few more times, you don't like already. You want to look for better one. Isn't it? Yeah? Better song, better experience, better vibration, then better taste. Then if you got too much of this, you also become like, they call, hou zai. Like you don't like. Then you want to experience new thing. That's the reason why last time in Form 4, I remember, we study literature. Literature. I like this verse. If music is the food of love, play on. You understand? Because if it's a food of love, means like you eat this food, you can have love. Understand not? So music can make you peaceful, quiet. Then spices of life. You know what is spices of life? Spices of life means you must have all the various types of spices. Then only you think there is life. That's why this craving cannot end. You keep on chasing after all the good food, all the good music, all the stuff. But when things are repeated, easily obtainable, no longer special, understand? Then you are tempted to look for better things. That's why this craving is unending. It's just like Maslow's need theory. What did Maslow's need theory state? Initially, basic need, food and shelter. If no food and shelter, cannot. Means they will do whatever just in exchange for food and shelter. But after they have food and shelter, then they got surplus money. What do? They look for the higher hierarchy. The need hierarchy increase. Then not only food and shelter already, he want better shelter, better food. He want to provide for comfort. He wants to buy car, buy property, buy asset, have money, travel, and all those things. Then later on, too much money. Then they say, all this materialist thing not important, right? I want status, understand? Dignity, the next hierarchy. Then they want to become CEO. They want to become politician, ministers, and all those things. Then after that, the need hierarchy continue. They got certain ideal. Then they keep on chasing, craving for it. So this need hierarchy is what craving is all about. When you crave, it's unending. It keeps on moving. And it can never be satisfied. They call it unsatiable. There's an English word. You cannot satisfy craving. So mental hindrance leading to spiritual faculty. When you have sati, you got no thought, means no sensual desire, no ill will. You are at peace. You are quiet, peaceful. That's why when you are able to be mindful of your in and out breath, the mindfulness will give rise to the state of peacefulness, inner peace, inner calmness. And this is what meditation is all about. When you are just aware without thought, you will experience that peace. And that peace is tranquility, stillness, awareness. So initially, it's just not stable yet. So this mindfulness is just aware. Then you will experience the quietness because it doesn't think. Then there is no mental hindrance. That's why when you have sati, there is no mental hindrance. It's just aware, silent, peaceful. There is no thinking, no movement of thought. So when it's just aware with the sada and virya, you are not sleepy, you don't have doubt, you don't have restlessness. Because when you don't think, you don't have problem. Understand? You understand? When you don't have problem, what happens? You are peaceful. But the moment you come out of it, the thought comes back. Oh, this one not done, that one not done. Your problem start again. So we went for this recent trip to Guangzhou. In our trip, there was one new guy, the guy from China who was taking us around. He didn't know Dhamma. He never meditated before. Then he shared with us his experience. He followed two of my sessions. The first session, not enough time, 5 minutes only. He became very calm, very peaceful. He was so happy. Then the second session, 45 minutes. And you know, after that 45 minutes, he was so calm, so peaceful, and so still until he forgot his numbness. His whole leg was numb. He doesn't know. Then he said, when he was in that state, he don't even know where he is. He's not even aware of his location. There's no thought to tell him that. Understand? Then I say, very good. Later on, you will not even know who you are. You understand? Maybe you forgot who you are. That is what thoughtless, not thoughtless. When your mind state is without thought, you are most beautiful. You are perfect, still, empty, nothing. But don't panic. That one only happened during meditation for you to understand. Then after you come out, your brain will come back on. Your identity will come back. Then when the brain and identity come back, the downside of it is the mental hindrance follow you. Understand? Because the moment you are not in this state of sati and samadhi, the thought will come back, the hindrance will come back. But when you have developed this until very stable, the mental hindrance can never arise. Because when there is sati and samadhi, the mind becomes collected and unwavering. Means at the moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think, this mind is collected, unwavering. It never stir, understand? So it never stir means no sensual desire, no ill will. No such hindrance. Then awareness will take over. That's why you will be continuously aware, silent, still, peaceful. And that is what meditation is all about. Without thought, I rub off already. Last time we wrote it somewhere. Without thought, you are peaceful. You are aware. You are just silent, tranquil, still. And that is the best mind state human being can ever have. Yeah. And this is not the concentration, actually, what they call conditioned state of mind, energy field. Yeah. This one is a free mind that is in that state of stillness, clarity, tranquility, awareness. The mind is just quiet, peaceful, still, aware. Not in a focused, concentrated state, not in energy field. Then when you are in this state, you continuously see things as they are, without words, without concept. Then you understand them as they are. Means you see truth, you see the reality, you see things as they are, not what your brain tell you, not what your views, opinion, and conditioning tell you. Then that is the direct seeing that can give rise to the awakening. The Buddha called this jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality, seeing things as they are. Then you will develop the understanding through that insight or direct seeing, awakening. You will insight into the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, non-self or empty nature. Yeah. So all this will arise, and that is wisdom, the last one. So with wisdom, all these hindrances gone. With samadhi and sati, sensual desire, ill will, restlessness gone. With virya, sloth and torpor also gone. Then the five spiritual faculty will make you different. That's why in the puja, we make aspiration for the spiritual faculty to become so stable that it's unshakable. They call it balas. Once this one becomes balas, technically, you don't need to meditate. You don't need to train. The mind is always in a meditative state, where this fighting is unshakable. You know why it's unshakable or not? It has become so stable, you will never lose it. You understand? Means the wisdom is not knowledge anymore. It's the understanding. It's always connected to your form and mind. You are always in the state of sati and samadhi. Means you are mindful, ever mindful throughout the day. Yeah. In whatever state you are in, even asleep or so, you are aware within. Then this sada and virya is already there. Where you will never doubt the Buddha anymore. Then you will have this virya to go all out to develop the understanding. So, hopefully you can understand. Yeah. Yes. Then you are not seeing things as they are. Because the curtain is a concept. It's a word. You know how a baby see or not? Newborn baby. They see without word, isn't it? They are very cute, very innocent, because no memory, no word, no vocabulary. Then you teach them. That's why they learn all these things, accumulate as memory. Their memory is clean. That's why clean slate, they learn things very fast. So when the baby see, he don't have cunningness. Understand? He see, it's just like, without words, we call it the pure seeing, the direct seeing, the pure perception. You see, like this so-called painting in inverted comma. Let's say you don't know anything, like a baby. What do you see? That pure awareness or pure perception of it. You perceive, but without the words, without the concept. Do you understand? The pure seeing. Seeing things as they are. Means everybody will see the same. Without words. Without words, everything is the same. But with word, the description can be different. Because we are all, our mind are wired differently. Understand? If you are a science student, you will describe it scientifically. If you are a technical guy, you will describe it technically. Yeah, you know calligraphy, you know art, you will describe it fantastically. Yeah, this is related, calligraphy. This is your view. Yes, to you, this is beauty, you understand? Then modern art, you cannot understand. People who cannot understand, say, what rubbish is this? Understand? It's modern art. But to a person who can appreciate modern art, oh, this is beautiful. So, when you see things according to your views and opinion, it becomes relative truth. It's not the truth anymore. Relative means depending on who see. Understand? That's why beauty lies in the eye of the person who hold it, beholder. So, when you see things as they are, the direct see, then everybody is seeing the same thing, without word, without concept. Then when I see, I understand it there and then. Because that is the truth, that is the reality. So when I start to understand, then I realize there is no word. That's why we don't have to argue, understand? But the moment you see with concept, word, and idea, then you argue, understand? Then all the problems of life come about. That's why when the mind is free, it doesn't hold on to anything. It just understands everything. Then when you understand everything, you are always at peace. Why are you at peace? Because you got no duality. You don't have to come out with right and wrong, good and bad. Thing is just the way it is. You know what is? Thing is just the way it is. All things are just the way they are. Means this is the truth. This is the reality. That's why this is the truth. The reality, or what they call suchness, or sometimes they call it what is is the reality. You understand? Things are just the way it is, means no right, no wrong. You sure won't agree on. Because in this world, you say, where can relative? Sure got right and wrong. Let's say that person become very violent, very angry. Or that person is very selfish. He scolded you. He abused you. Or he say bad things about you. Or because of his selfishness, he do all those very selfish things. He cheat you. He deceive you. He steal from you. He lie to you. Then what happened? You say, this guy is too much, understand? How can he do this to me? So you get angry at him. But when you understand that things are just the way they are, you will not do that. You will be at peace. But you will still solve the problem, you understand? Means you have to see things as they are, so that you don't stir your mind and get angry. Sensual desire and ill will. Then you become agitated, restless. All the mental hindrances arise. That's why I say, after that you act. You still act. It doesn't mean you don't act. Initially, it's don't stir, don't create this. Understand? But, Now I prove to you are wrong. Okay, very easy. You listen. If I can see things as they are, means I see him or her as she is. Angry person, selfish person will do angry thing and selfish thing. Understand or not? She is the way she is. You understand? No right, no wrong. But according to you, you say, how can she? Well, you got a standard, you got a view. He must be honest, he must be sincere, he must be caring, loving, just like your ideal. Understand or not? Otherwise, it's wrong. Then? Your precept is for you to follow. Understand or not? Ah. But if you don't have the Dhamma, you will not keep the precept. Understand or not? That's why you are just the way you are. Before you know the teaching, you also say in the Cameron retreat, you remember? Isn't this human nature? You always talk about human nature. To get angry, to become unhappy. Understand or not? To have problem? Yeah. We got no problem. But I say, yeah, the world don't have problem. You understand? How did problem arise? When you perceive things with fear and negativity, then you have a problem. True or not? If I don't perceive things with fear and negativity, I don't call it a problem. I will say, it's a blessing in disguise. Understand or not? You know why? Let's just take for example. Let's say you get into big trouble in life. The first noble truth, reality, hit you completely. Until you are very, very miserable. Okay? So what will you do when you are hit? Yeah? Then, that is what Buddha calls suffering. Understand or not? Yeah. Ah, yeah, it becomes. So, when the first noble truth reality hit you until so severely, you don't have to cry. Understand or not? No, to you it's human nature to become sorrowful, understand not? Unhappy. But the Buddha said these are life realities, understand not?
We are born with emotions.
I also born with emotion.
Okay, you have a problem and you just stay calm.
No! Who tell you you have a problem and you stay calm? You stay calm so that you don't stir your mind, create the mental hindrance, so that you can have clarity of mind, understand or not? Then when you have clarity of mind, means what happens? When you can accept them for what they are, means I don't blame her because it is her selfishness, her ignorance, her anger, her violence that make her like that. So she is just the way she is. So you listen, eh? If I can accept her for what she is, I'm at peace, true or not? I don't have to hate her. I don't have to be angry with her. Then I knew she is just the way she is. That's why angry people do angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. So when I'm at peace, I have clarity. Do you understand? I have clarity, I can observe. Then I can ask myself, what are my options? What can I do to resolve this amicably so that there is no misunderstanding? You don't have to get angry there. Then you can just go and tell that lady, I think I have made a mistake. If I have caused you any unnecessary misunderstanding or problem, I'd like to sincerely apologize. Sorry about it. I tell you, approach like that without anger. Just be normal and have understanding. Then shake her hand. Thank you so much for pointing out my mistake. Yeah. I'd like to apologize. And then she will tone down and say, no, nothing to do with you. Actually, me also at fault. I get angry with you. Then, resolve. If you go and stir your mind and get angry, what happens? You are the way you are. No? Then, with this mental hindrance, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. You will lose your calm. Understand? No? You will become emotional, restless, like what you say. You understand? Then, you argue, fight. Understand? No use, son. No use, son. Take a deep breath, no use, son. Suppressing. That is suppressing. Understand? Suppression. That's why that one, no use, son. That is called suppression. The Buddha called it suppression. The Buddha said, Don't fight. Don't fight. Wait. I explain this first. Don't fight the mental hindrance. Huh? Then don't suppress. You know what is suppression? You know Cantonese? Yan. Yan. Definitely lah. When you yan means what? You are suppressing your anger, you know or not? You're yan lah. Ngang yan lah. You must yan with wisdom, then no pain inside there, no suppression, understand or not? Means truly have the understanding to be at peace. Means I am patient with everything that arises. Yeah, these are the realities. Like the Buddha said, the first noble true reality, it not only happened to you, you know, like separation from loved one that caused you all the suffering. Just now I give you the example. Let's say you got relationship problem. Then loved one's problem. Maybe loved one got big problem, pass away or don't like you and want to separate from you. Yeah. Then you can have career problem. You may lose your job. Then relationship problem. Your own brother, sister may have a misunderstanding, argue you or your neighbor, not easy to deal with, get into a lot of problem. So all this, you perceive it in negativity, with fear, then that becomes problem, understand? But when you understand, these are reality. That's why the Buddha said, no right, no wrong. These are reality. Reality means what? Life's reality. Not only you are subject to it, everybody who lived life long and now is subject to it. Even birth, old age, sickness and death. Not only you get sick, I also get sick, understand? But the difference is, when I understand, I accept this reality. Because this is the form, the physical, the body, go the way of nature, not me. So I can be at peace. Even with great pain, understand? Pain is the mental concept, like I told her. The word come out, then it become pain. Then it become more intolerable. Yeah. Because you label it as pain. Right? If I don't label, means what? Like in meditation, when pain arises, I accept. I accept means I don't create mental hindrance. Understand? You will dislike of the pain. There is no aversion. Means I'm at peace. When I'm at peace, sati, mindfulness, take over. That's why I can remain at peace, meditate there. But if I label it pain, I create mental hindrance. And that hindrance prevents my mind from becoming peaceful. That's why I cannot meditate. So in the worldly state, it's the same. When you stir your mind and develop all this, you don't have clarity. You are not at peace. Then you got emotion like this one, restless. Like she said, cannot suppress. Because everything moves already. The anger, the hatred, the thought keep on telling you, you know. What does the thought tell you? How can this guy do this to me? This is not the first time. He has done it many times. He did it on purpose. You go and listen to your thought. You become more emotional, more agitated. You include and add all this mental energy to it, and these are all wrong thoughts. What are wrong thoughts? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your emotion, your anger, your hatred. These are all wrong thoughts. Then why did you arise it? It will torment you, isn't it? Make you miserable, isn't it? But this is a wrong thought. That's why the teaching, got Noble Eightfold Path, asks you to develop the right understanding to arise the right thought. When the wrong thought arises, you must arise the right effort to abandon it. Do you abandon it? There are five ways to abandon wrong thought. You never do. You say, this is human nature. I must get angry. Well, this guy did this to me. That's where you go wrong. Don't get angry is the first step. Be at peace with all things. Because things is just the way they are. Things are just the way they are. No right, no wrong. She is just the way she is. Understand? When you can appreciate life with this understanding, then you are always at peace. Then when you are at peace, no stirring, you don't have to suppress. You don't have to control. You don't have to fight the hindrance. But you are already at peace. When you are at peace. Same one. Yeah, Yeah, so what? No, you accept him for what he is. Then you act. How do you act? You have clarity of mind. You are calm. You are aware. You look at him. Then you have love. Understand or not? Did I do anything wrong? I'd like to ask for forgiveness. This is right speech. Understand or not? Right approach. Not to be intimidated and full of fear. When you are full of fear, the dog also will know. They will run after you and bite you. But if you don't have fear, you confront the dog, what happens? The dog will stop. Then you will walk away. Have you ever tried confronting a dog when they bark at you or chase at you? Oh, then you never try. That's why you never learn. I have done it. I just silent. I look at the dog. Then he turned down. You run worse. He will chase you. You will sure get bitten, what I tell you. Because your fear is so intense, the dog can feel. Understand? The dog has very strong senses. The nose. That's why they can smell. They call it the smeller. Huh? Don't become a dog. Huh? Smell everywhere. So, Dhamma can be applied when you understand. You don't have to get angry. Don't have to get fearful. Make yourself miserable. Why? No.
How do we apply this at a younger age when we are full of fear?
Okay, to answer you, I don't have to go into your question. I just have to explain to you what age means. There are three types of ages, you know that? Physical age. Then the other one is what? Based on your date of birth. Huh? Based on your date of birth, what type of age is that? Huh? Biological age. Understand or? So physical age, sometimes, let's say, you are able to maintain your shape and all those things. You put ICI, then you dye your hair. Then you dress up. Then people thought, oh, get hun. But like my wife say, from the back. When you view from the back, 18 years old, turn in front, the face show up. Then the biological age, physical age show up. But there is one eternal, no age on. The mind doesn't get old. Understand? Mind is energy. That nature never get old because it was never born. That's why you never get sick and never die. So, even in your own expression, sometimes you heard of people say, Zen Lao, Sing Bu Lao, Yan Lo, Sam Pan Lo. You know the meaning or not? Your mind never age, understand?
If you get Alzheimer's or dementia, for sure that the mind is...
No, that is the brain. Alzheimer's is the brain. You lost memory, understand? It's not the mind. The mind is still beautiful. It's like that. Understand? It doesn't mean that you got no memory. You cannot live life. You understand? You don't need memory to really live life. Technically. Yeah? That's why you look here. You look here. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. You can understand this statement. Huh? And this is where human beings' problem is. Because you act according to memory. You sure cannot understand me. You're first time here. Huh? So many times still cannot understand. Okay. First question. What is memory? What is memories? Also, can, living in the past. So, it's an accumulation of what? Accumulation. No. Slowly. So this one is accumulation of all your experiences. Eh? Correct or not? Agree or not? Good and bad. Eh? good and bad according to you. Huh? To me, these are reality, no good, no bad. But human beings' problem is without the Dhamma, without the wisdom, the understanding, memory is accumulation of all your experiences, good or bad. So normally, what do you remember? Ah, scars of memory. Understand not? You seldom. I tell you, love that become hatred and anger, yeah, and unhappiness is not love. Understand not? That one is infatuation. You are infatuated at that moment. Understand? That is not love. Understand? You are attracted to each other. Understand? Then when the attraction is no more, what happened? Love fly out of the window. That's why they say, poverty knock on the door, love fly out of the window. You see, Kevin, listen. When will you think of the happy moment? When you got nothing to do. When you don't have problem at home. Wow, last time. When we were courting, then you call your husband. Oh, darling, you remember not? When we were 18. When we were 18 or 20. When you got problem, you got time to recall your good memory or not? Your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your restless mind make you depressed. Understand not? You got no time for good memory. So you accumulate all of your scars of memory, your phobia, your fear, your worry, your so-called delusion, because you have seen how people cheat you and how sometimes you also cheat and deceive people. Understand? So there is this memory that prevents you from acting. How? Because you got this insecurity. You scared. Understand? You fear. You are insecure. Because you have seen this before and this memory tell you. The scars of memory. Last night I robbed before, no, especially snatched teeth. No. Hear motor sound only, I tell you, panic, I hold on to your back already. Understand? Yeah. Then that childhood child abuse or phobia, long time didn't happen already, but suddenly you see somebody of similar character and condition, straight away the memory recall, then you full of fear. That phobia come back again. The scars of memory all. It's a fear, worry, anxiety. It's a projection of thought from memory. So acting according to memory is not acting at all. Why? Because you are acting according to your fear, your insecurity, your sadness, your sorrow, your depression, your unhappy moments. So when you act according to all these, which are your views, your opinion, and your conditioning, your tradition, you are not acting at all. Because these are all delusions, evil roots. Then how should you act? How should you act? The answer is there. Acting according to? What is this word? Acting according to? Understanding or wisdom is the true action. That's why you need Dhamma to act. You act with Noble Eightfold Path. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. Right livelihood. Right effort and right mindfulness and right samadhi. And this is true action. It's very easy. Right view with regards to the law of karma. The Buddha already said, you are all born of karma, heir to karma. Condition is supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. So if that guy did all these things to you, he will be subject to karma. Understand? Why you want to play God? And reprimand him. He has his karma. Don't worry. You take care of your karma. You will be beautiful. You reap what you sow. He reap what he sow. Or she reap what she sow. How do you heal? How do you heal? You want to have the understanding. It's very easy. Learn the teaching. Learn the Dhamma. The second noble truth is what? The cause of suffering, your misery is what? Craving. Why do you crave, cling, grasp? Because you think you are real. You think he is real. Understand? When you can see through meditation clearly that you are not what you are. This body is not you. No need to learn. Meditate. Awaken. Awaken. Then you will understand. It's very easy. Is it so difficult? About 7 more minutes. I think enough time. Okay, let's assume your physical body and the mind, yeah, inside you. I give you an analogy. This body is like a car. You know what is a car? C-A-R? Yeah? Car. Okay? Car and the driver. This analogy, similar, but not exactly. This car is your body, because it takes you around. Can follow? Can, huh? Then, this driver is your mind. Because this one gives instruction to the car. Understand? He says, move, move. Run, run. Can see clearly. Then I ask you one question. The car and the driver, which is your body and your mind, is the car and the driver the same? Definitely no lah. Understand? So when the car got problem, accident, as a driver, do you get miserable? Maybe pocket painful, understand? But apart from it, the car is a car. Hey, what you need to do? Need to claim insurance claim. Need to send the workshop send. But when the body, ayo, I am pain, I am sick. You think this fellow is you? I don't know. Not only body sick, mind also becomes sick. You see or not? It's not a stage in your life. Definitely you don't feel pain. You forgot who you are also. How can you feel pain? No thought means no labeling, no concept. Sure, no pain lah. That's why you silent, relax until the sati take over. But don't try to be a hero, understand or not? Definitely. Definitely, you need to be aware. Because you're hardly aware, that's why you cannot understand. What you are trying to ask is, this pain, understand or not? The so-called pain. Pain, when you understand through meditation, is tactile, understand? Tactile, the consciousness keep on arising. Just the contact. Because it is the body's way of telling you that got problem, understand? That's why pain is a good indicator that the body needs attention. Something is wrong. That's why it's a warning marker from the body, a response. So the Buddha said, you got two choices. Attached to it, become miserable over it. Means not only body sick, mind also sick. But this is a reality. This body of mind is of the nature to get old, to get sick and die. So disease, sickness, injury, pain is part and parcel of this body's reality. Where it goes the way of nature. There are nerve, tactile, respond. The consciousness trapped inside is aware of it. So when you are aware, you got two choices. Attach, react, and become miserable. Means the mind also sick. That's why the Buddha said, when your body is sick, you can endure. You can be with it in awareness. Just aware of it. Don't label it. Then you are at peace. Then you can endure many things. Understand? Because you got two choices. React and become miserable, or accept at peace. Stay with it. Be with it. Just aware. And you can. The mind that is trained can do that. So no matter how painful is the mind, if the mind understands, stay with it, it's tolerable, endurable. And you have to accept, you got no choice. Understand? That is the reality. What is? Truth is. What is? Suchness. These are the reality. Not only happen to you, happen to everybody. If it's a universal reality problem, in inverted comma, universal reality, then you have to accept. If you don't accept, you become miserable, where you want things your way, which is craving, desire, and attachment. If you know that this body is only element, go the way of nature, doesn't belong to you, then you don't have to worry about you getting old, getting sick and dying. True or not? And now you say, but just now say, the non-self, I still cannot come to terms with it. It's very straightforward. When you don't understand, you cannot. When you understand, it's very easy. It's a matter of whether you understand or not. You don't understand, you cling, you attach, you become miserable, afflicted. Where you fear, die. Who die? You think Kiet Hun die. Who asked you to learn how to detach? Learn how to let go is a wrong concept. Wrong understanding. That is knowledge. Who hold? The person who don't understand whole, understand or not? Then the person who don't understand whole want to let go. How can he let go? I already hinted to you just now. When you don't understand, you cannot do. You cannot let go. But to you, it's very real. Understand or not? Let go is a concept, an idea. Okay lah. I don't want to get angry with you lah. I forgive you lah. But from the tone, you never forgive. Understand or not? Only word. Forgive. It's just like let go. Okay lah, don't want to attach. Aiyah, die lah. My children only lah. Word. But when you, the thought come back, my only son, my only daughter. How can God be so unfair? That's why, say one thing, do one thing. Letting go is the thought that tell you. And the thought cannot do all this. Where the thought that is deluded can never let go. It only let go in terms of speech, concept, words. The moment you understand you cannot hold, is there any need to let go? Like this thing is burning red hot. If I know it's burning red hot, I will not hold. If I don't hold, do I need to let go? But if I don't know that it's burning me, like my anger, my hatred, my depression, killing me, and I hold on to this anger, this grudges, this hatred, and these are evil root, burning hot, killing me, stressing me out, and you don't know that it is burning you because it's not like the red hot thing that can burn your senses. This one burn your mind. Spiritually, you are dead. That's why you don't feel it. But the moment you understand, just like that red hot thing, if you don't want to be tormented and burned by it, what must you do? Don't hold, understand? Don't go and practice letting go, understand? The moment you don't hold means the moment you don't have anger, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety, restlessness, you are free. You understand? When you have the fear, worry, anxiety, anger, restlessness, you want to let go of hatred, let go of anger. How to let go? You go and try. It's still burning hot inside there. You cannot root it out. Without wisdom, it cannot come out. Understand? The understanding of it free you. Nothing else. Not your concentration, your jhana, your fantastic meditation. No use. Wisdom, understanding. The moment you understand, you are free. Technically, it's as simple as that. You have that past roots, or what they call karmic inheritance. Then, you will awaken. Because you haven't awakened. You don't have means you don't have. Your past already gone. How can you change the past? You have to cultivate now, lah. Ayo. Can. No need to wait till next life. This life you can end. But you must open up. You must have a open mind. You are so conditioned. You are acting, responding from memory, conditioning, views, opinion. You have not opened up. You have not rooted out. It's just like the Zen analogy. The cup of tea is full. Whatever pour inside will overflow out. You are not ready to receive. No, don't hold on to anything. Listen attentively like a baby. Clean slate. Understand or not? No memory. Start all over again. Assume I don't know anything. Now I want to find out. But you cannot. You keep on. Pratyo, isn't this human nature? We are emotional. You keep on going back to the old thinking, understand? The old conditioning. You can never learn. You assume you don't know anything now. Forget about what you have accumulated in your memory. Your phobia, your scars of memory. Oh, forget about it. Now I want to learn. I assume I don't know anything, like a baby. Clean slate. And then I learn. Then very easy, very fast, you understand. She can understand very fast because she's first time here. That's why she asked me the five mental hindrances. Straight away I explained, he said he has everything. All the five. Because she listened with a clean slate, understand? She's not so conditioned like you. When you apply your knowledge to understand things that is beyond you, you cannot understand. I think we have to end. The alarm just now sounded already. Anyway, it's good. I should thank Elaine for the good question. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You can develop the understanding provided you have an open mind, free mind. Don't use your own knowledge to learn. To learn, you have to be completely like clean slate. From nothing, from zero base, you study, you learn. And it's very easy to learn. But when you are full of views, opinion, concept, and idea, or the so-called old teaching, you can never learn. Where you compare, understand? You compare. As you compare, you never learn. It's just like the art of listening. The brown book is very good. Essential Dhamma of the Buddha. The art of listening. You go back and read this book, Kevin. The art of listening. You know the art of listening. To listen attentively without your memory, your views, your opinion interfering. You understand? That is true listening. Fully aware, listen. Don't compare. Don't judge. Don't react. Don't, what they call verbalize inside there. Cannot be lah, brother, you say like that. I was taught differently. The moment you create all this thinking, you are lost in thought. You are not listening to me anymore. Understand not? But you are comparing. You are acting according to memory. You are not listening. You are using memory to try to understand. So you are doing the measurement, the comparison. That's why you cannot. When you listen, means listen attentively. Then like I say, when you listen attentively, you can actually investigate into it. Whether it's appropriate or not. Then to find out whether it's appropriate or not, or the truth or not, you just have to ask two questions. If I follow, does it harm me? Does it harm others? If it doesn't harm you and harm others, what have you got to lose? Then just follow. Then find out for yourself the Buddha's teaching, whether it really helped you. You understand? You don't go and like something very new, straight away, cannot be lah. Then your old thinking come back. Then you never change. You will never learn anything new. Whatever you have learned, don't try to unlearn. Just forget about it. Don't bring it into the picture to interfere. Then listen attentively. When you listen attentively, you can understand. When you are always comparing, you are not listening at all. Because the art of listening is to be attentive, silent, just listen. Then if it's the truth, it will stand up to investigation, that's it. If it's not the truth, you will also know. Yeah, it doesn't stand up to investigation. You can check your own mind, your own whatever understanding. Okay, we better end. Let us share merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditva jirang rakantu loka sasana itta vata chamehi Sampadan punya sampadan sape deva anamodantu sabba sampati sidhiya idang minya tidang hotu sukita hontunya teyo idang minya tidang hotu sukita hontunya teyo idang minya tidang hotu sukita hontunya teyo mina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Keep paying respect to Sakyamuni Buddha and all the worthy ones, then we end.